consultation, call Palm Partners toll-free 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Center, healing mind, body, and spirit. The Seaside Inn is a private sober hotel offering a serene beach haven where men and women in recovery can relax and enjoy life. We provide an upscale attitude in a humble, quiet setting just 50 yards from the beautiful Atlantic Ocean in Pompano Beach. Come and enjoy health events and wellness activities as you celebrate God's greatest gift, you. For information, call 954-249-5589. 954-249-5589. The Seaside Inn, located at 308 South Ocean Boulevard in Pompano Beach. 954-249-5589. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Rockers in Recovery radio show, dedicated to news, interviews, events, and festivals taking place in the rock and roll industry and in the world of bands and musicians who support recovery. Find out more by going to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now, the host of Rockers in Recovery, here's John Holler.
We're here.
Hey, you! Yeah, you! Come here for a minute. I want to talk to you.
Mama said your brain dead and your head against the wall. Can't find peace of mind, brain needs an overhaul. Bonehead, brain dead, we're all the same. You can't think straight when your heart is in pain.
And now, from the international airwaves of Pig12Radio.com on your internet dial, here's the weekly rantings of the Bonnie Man.
Well, give it up. 'Twas the night before Christmas. We were all in the club enjoying a meeting instead of a pub. The ashtrays were clean and the coffee was made. The big books were out. And then we all prayed. When out in the lot there arose such a clatter, we all jumped up to see what was the matter. The chair with his big book and I with my smokes headed outside to find these two blokes. And if you want to hear the rest of this thing, you'll have to go to our YouTube. Click on the YouTube on any of the pages that we have, the YouTube little button, and you can read Twas the Night Before Sober Christmas. All right, there you go.
Ashtrays.
Yeah, ashtrays. That's what was written back when they had smoking meetings.
I remember when that. Do they have those anywhere in the country anymore?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
It's limited on our bell. And,
it's a pretty weak bell.
Yeah, Twas the Night Before Sober Christmas. Yeah, check that out. It was sent in by an anonymous sender. And we're going to be – hey, listen. Hey, this is really cool, you guys, everybody out there. You're listening right now here on KHLT Recovery Broadcasting, K12Radio.com on your internet dial. Or you may be, and for those of you who don't know that it's available, broadcasting on Holistic Lifestyles Radio. The website is HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. And if you're listening on AM, you don't have internet. Well, if you don't have internet, you might be listening on a friend's computer right now. I don't know. You can tune into WWNN AM, 1470 AM, in Boca Raton, Florida. And also pick up our show live on Wednesday and then rebroadcast on Sunday, too. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. You can pick that up. And we're going to be doing a show. I'm going to be doing a show out of Seattle here in the mid-January, and that'll be exciting. We'll give you the news on that as well. All right. All right, we're going to what are we going to do? All right, we're going to write into trivia. The theme for this week's show is how do you know you're an alcoholic or drug addict? And we're going to talk about that. It's a little bit of what the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous says and a little bit of what treatment might say and see what you think about that.
Here's what
if you want to play trivia,
Okay, trivia for this week is going to be very easy. It's Christmas carols, and we're just going to start right off the bat. Here, I'm going to give you the verse, and I'm going to give you multiple choice on what Christmas carols it may be. There will be four multiple choices, and those of you who are at home, play along. Here we go. Round yon virgin, mother and child, jingle bells, silent night, I'll be home for Christmas, or we three kings?
Silent night. Wait, what was it again?
Round yon virgin, mother and child.
Silent night.
Very good. All right. Number two, bearing gifts we travel afar. Jingle bell, silent night, I'll be home for Christmas, or we three kings?
We three kings.
What do you think, Bradley?
We three kings.
Very nice.
Ho, 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 ho.
All right. And number three, and heaven and nature sing. Away in the manger, joy to the world, the wall shepherds watched, and white Christmas.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world.
Very nice. You guys are batting 1,000. This will be the one time a year, right?
I watch enough Christmas specials in my time.
There you go. Number four, the season to be jolly. Deck the halls while shepherds watch, jingle bells, or God rest ye merry gentlemen.
Deck the halls.
Very nice.
Merry Christmas!
Number five, God and sinners reconciled. O come, Emmanuel. O come, all ye faithful. Hark the herald angels sing, or the first Noel.
Come all ye, oh, come all ye faithful.
Bah! Humbug!
It's Hark the Herald Angels. All right, there we go. Christmas trivia, Christmas Carol trivia for this week's show. Topic, how do you know you're an alcoholic or an addict? Are you an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Somebody's sitting at home going, what? are you a drug addict? This is a very interesting topic because...
Yeah, that too.
Because...
No.
Go ahead. What were you going to say? Nothing yet.
Nothing
yet. Okay. Because the questions that – what I have found is that the questions that are asked that you can find on the Internet, all you have to do is type in them, alcoholic test, am I an alcoholic, am I a drug addict, and you'll find a number of different questionnaires. And most of them are pretty much the same. And there is I'm not going to read all the questions on here because there are – on this one, there are like 29. So I'm going to read just four of these. And I am going to tell you that these are all similar. And see if you two guys can guess or people can guess at home what they're similar – why they're similar, okay? At the beginning of this thing, and I researched 20 of these questionnaires. Let's see. In order to determine whether or not a person has drifted from social drinking into pathological drinking, it is well to check over a list of these questions, which each one may ask him or herself and answer for him or herself truthfully. It is possible, but not at all probable, that you may fool somebody else, but you must be honest with yourself. See how you do. All right, here's question number one. These are yes or no questions. Do you require a drink the next morning after drinking?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. What do you say?
I have to answer these?
But yeah, go ahead.
Depends.
Okay.
I had to drink the next day.
Okay.
Not necessarily next morning. Depends.
Okay.
Depends.
But you did have to drink the next day.
Yeah, I had
okay.
to drink every day.
Okay, that was number one. Let's skip down here to number 12. Does drinking make you restless?
It can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably not drinking. Not drinking
maybe very restless.
Yeah. Here's number 19. Do you drink to obtain social ease in shy, timid, self-conscious individuals?
Don't most people that drink socially do that?
Seems like it.
Yeah, I didn't drink socially, so no.
Okay, so you said no.
I did. I used it as a tool a lot of times, yeah.
Okay, let's see. The fourth one. Are you harder to get along with since you're drinking?
Depends on who puts me in a certain kind of a mood.
Okay. Who puts you there?
Or blame,
yeah. Yeah.
I'd say it just depends on who puts me in a certain kind of a mood. If, say, my girlfriend were to upset me, then I'd probably go into a different
aspect. If you've been drinking.
Exactly.
Versus being sober.
Yeah.
What about you, Mason?
Say it again, word for word, just to make sure
I
get it right.
Okay. you're drinking. Oh, are you harder to get along with since drinking?
I mean, yeah. Well, depends on the person. I mean, some people I could get along with probably better.
Yeah.
But, you know, in general, like, as far as family or people that are healthy are concerned, yeah.
Right, right.
As far as healthy people.
Okay, what the heck? Let's pick, let's pick a couple more.
These, I don't find them relevant.
Okay, well, no, they're relevant to our show today.
Oh, to our show, to our show.
Let's see here. Does drinking, has drinking made you more impulsive?
Yes.
I've already always been impulsive, but yes, even more so.
Even more so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here's one. Does drinking make you care less of your family and loved ones?
You know what? Like, even though I'd like to say no at the time, now that I've been away from it for a long time, I'd say yeah. Because you can't really see that selfishness while you're in it.
Okay.
So I couldn't as well, or that well, because I still thought I did a lot of selfless things, which, well, I don't know.
That's true, Brad.
I'd have to say yes also.
Okay. Have you ever lost any time from work because of your drinking?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Like,
have you ever
called in? Yeah. Have I ever called in for a hangover? No. But I have, I don't think I have. But, I mean, I have lost jobs because I have stuff related to it, you know, related to my drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so vicariously I have.
Yeah.
But not as a direct.
Okay. Okay. Very good. According to this test, the test questions above are not AA questions, but are the guidelines used by Johns Hopkins University, a hospital, in deciding whether a patient is alcoholic or not. Interesting. Now, the reason I find it interesting, and I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, to as far as the guys in the studio goes, maybe not to you guys out there, is the reason I find these interesting is every one of those questions that I asked Mason and Brad could be answered yes of anyone, whether they were alcoholic or not. So, as a matter of fact, if I were to read all 29 questions Johns Hopkins puts out to determine whether a person is alcoholic or not, and or addict, every single one of these could be answered yes by somebody who is not an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because in some treatment centers, they'll give you a large packet to do, and they'll ask you the same question three or four times.
Oh, yeah. I had that when I went to prison. They did that. Okay. Is drinking harming your family in any way? Can drinking harm your family if you're not an alcoholic but you drink too much?
Sure.
Yes.
Do non-alcoholics get DUIs?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I know heavy drinkers that have gotten in tons of trouble.
Have people been hospitalized because of their drinking and not be alcoholics?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. So these are...
The thing is, it's the definition of alcoholic. I would say most people I've talked to since I've been in recovery don't understand what an alcoholic is.
Well, we're gonna take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that and why these questions may not be that accurate in determining whether a person is an alcoholic and or an addict. Don't go away, my friends. We'll be back right after this.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years. And they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Do you or someone you know have an addiction problem? Healing and a new way of life is only a phone call away. Palm Partners Recovery Centers specialize in chemical dependency, offering a comprehensive program of detox, treatment, and aftercare. Palm Partners combines traditional 12-step recovery with holistic and therapeutic treatment, guiding the patient to long-term recovery. Take control of your life. Reach for the highest quality care at an affordable cost. For a free consultation, call Palm Partners today. Toll free, 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Center, healing mind, body, and spirit.
Welcome back, and Merry Holidays and Christmas and all that stuff. I've got one little jingle bell here, just one. So it's not quantity, it's quality, right?
One's enough.
We're talking about the topic, am I an alcoholic? How can you tell if you're an alcoholic? According to most treatment centers, this is a very common set of questions. Now, I will tell you, out of 20 of these questionnaires from different institutions, I found only two that asked the question that would actually be related to alcoholism, according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This may not be according to certain professionals or maybe even to you as a listener, but according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a little different here. Surprisingly, and this is a definition of an alcoholic itself test, surprisingly, AA does not offer an official definition of an alcoholic. This is done intentionally because AA will not pronounce any drinker as alcoholic. However, they will, in the book, provide the drinker with relevant information so the drinker can make their own judgment and self-diagnosis in regards to the question of whether or not they are alcoholic. So what do you think there, Bradley? Besides those questions that we ask, what do you think might be somebody's clue that they have more than a drinking problem? They actually have the allergy of alcohol. Got any idea? Just shoot anything out there. There's no wrong.
Just the unmanageability, the uncontrol, you know, the drinking over and over again, expecting the same results.
Can that happen to a non-alcoholic, though? Maybe.
Well, how much is a non-alcoholic going to eat? I suppose so, yeah.
But that is certainly an indicator.
Mm-hmm.
If we're drinking over and over again, expecting something else to happen that's different,
mm-hmm.
probably more of an indicator than any of these questions.
Yeah, but a non-problem drinker probably isn't, I would think, wouldn't drink as much as we would in order to, you know, to get to where we want to be.
Uh-huh.
So maybe some of their problems might not be as extreme, but that it could still be a devastating situation, whether
okay.
you...
What about you, Mason?
I think the first step says it pretty well. I mean, honestly, that's about it. Am I powerless? Some people are not powerless over it.
What's
you know,
that,
a lot of heavy drinkers.
Like? What's
powerless?
That like? What's that look like, being powerless over alcohol?
No matter how hard and how bad you want to stop, you cannot.
Mm.
You know, because that was my thing. Is I wanted to for a lot of years, and felt I couldn't do it,
mm-hmm.
no matter how many problems were arising because of it in my life. And those problems were a symptom of it, I thought,
mm-hmm.
not it itself, not
mm-hmm.
caused by. They were a symptom of, you know, what was going on. But, I mean, my whole thing is I remember identifying with everything in, you know, doctor's opinion and a lot of those things. I remember identifying, like, almost 100% with it other than the experiences.
Yeah.
I didn't go through necessarily the same experiences, but the effect, the cause, and, you know, exactly the cause
right.
and effect or whatever was exactly
right.
the same. And it reminds me, I don't know, I remember when I was doing one thing, I remember saying one time that you know, I couldn't stop when I started, and the problem was I couldn't stop starting, you know.
No.
You know, you can't stop when you start, and you can't stop starting. So it's a continuous thing,
sure.
whether you want it to or not. So I think that's
okay.
powerlessness. It's not necessarily the related effects that are caused by it.
More than likely, all those questions are definitely an indicator there's a problem. It may not be alcoholism, but that something's going on. I would say that more people that are definitely true alcoholics, definitely, and what I mean by that is they have the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body, which presents itself as the phenomenon of craving, probably do have probably could answer yes to many of these questions.
Oh yeah.
So not all alcohol. I mean, a lot of non-alcoholics could to some of these, and probably most definite alcoholics. To
a friend of mine,
definite yes.
Is coming to mind in all of those questions. He'd answer yes to probably every question, but you know, they say with sufficient reason. You know, I mean, and he kept getting himself into trouble. He got DUIs, jail. He got sick all of the time, and all these things.
Yeah.
Got a girlfriend, and he was able to get sober.
And he got sober. Yeah. Never drank again, right?
Never drank. Well, yeah. he did one time, and he hated himself for it. And he's like, he just kind of did it. And he, but you know,
probably
extreme
not.
Atheist.
Yeah. Probably not a true alcoholic.
No, I don't
think
so.
Probably not someone with the allergy.
No.
Especially if you get sober for somebody else.
Yeah.
But
good point.
And he has over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has over a year now. Mm-hmm. But he had 11 months when he did, relapse or whatever, I guess. You know, but he drank one time since then. But, I mean, it was sufficient reason for him. He had a reason in his life not to drink. But when he didn't have something like that, you know, when he was just kind of depressed and bummed out, he figured, why not? You know, he drank all the time then and was getting super to the point where he was, like, almost violent drunk and, you know, just a real problem drinker. But, yeah, got a girlfriend and he's sober now.
Okay, let's look at some of the stuff in the chapter, more about alcoholism in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, according to the Big Book, in the second and third paragraph on page 30, it says, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. Okay, so thinking that we are normal drinkers, if we are alcoholic, has got to definitely be smashed. Otherwise, that comes back and we think we can drink normally. Here's the key, though, the first key to look for when asking yourself if you are or not. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. In other words, can I take a drink, half a drink, or a sip of a drink, and not desire one? Now, you may not take another drink, but can you not desire one? I mean, actually have that tug that says, I want another drink. Lots of people say, well, I didn't take another drink. Yeah, but were you craving that other drink?
To me, it'd be a painful almost craving.
It would be.
You become to a need.
Right.
Well, I thought, or I don't even say a thought, I needed more. I needed. That's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
If I had it, it was a need. And people didn't I don't know. You know what I mean? It was pretty bad.
Here on page 39, more about alcoholism, halfway through the first paragraph, it says, but the actual or potential alcoholic, now that would suggest to me, according to this book, that you have somebody who is actually born with it, or you have somebody who can develop alcoholism through abuse. It says, but the actual or potential alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may be talking about the person who is active in their alcoholism and then the person who isn't yet, but if he starts drinking, will become active in their alcoholism. There's two schools of thought there. But this is what it says. To this person, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge.
That's it right there.
That's it right there. Can you stop drinking just because you say, I'm going to stop? Or because, you know, my girlfriend wants me to stop, so I'm going to quit. Or the guru down the street said, you know, meditate on your belly button three times a day and you'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, you're probably not an alcoholic. I would say probably 99.9% of the time you're not an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
So an alcoholic can't stop on his own thinking.
I tried. I thought, for the longest time, I thought that maybe my body that was the problem, the physical addiction to it. And, you know, before I knew much about the mental obsession and everything like that. And so I tried cutting down to a point where, you know, it's enough to where I wouldn't detox. And I would, you know, have that one in the night. And I remember I would not be able to sleep. I'd be angry and bitter and pissed off because I couldn't have more. I didn't have more. And I was trying to do this because my girlfriend I'd been with a lot of years, you know, saying, you know, I have to leave if this doesn't stop. And I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Because you weren't able to achieve The drunk that you wanted.
Hard.
Well, if you didn't have enough alcohol, you weren't able to achieve the drunk that you wanted, and then there's that obsession, compulsion, paranoia, stuff like that.
I don't think that's necessarily just it, though. I mean, the drunk I wanted, I mean, I could be drunk, very drunk, and still want to keep drinking anyways, though. I think it's just I couldn't go to bed. I'd have to drink until I went to bed. That's just how it had to be. I couldn't not have one in my hand. I remember worrying, being like, oh, no, I've only got, like, six left. Or four left,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at it, worrying about it.
Yeah, but how many different kind of drunks are you going for?
Well,
there's only one drunk, and that's hammered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I didn't necessarily like being hammered either, though. I didn't always do it just
because.
You can
be drunk and not be sloshed.
Yeah.
I can't.
You're right.
I mean, I'm all.
That's me. That's me.
But I'm the same way.
I usually end up getting that way. That's not the way I wanted to be, but I couldn't stop drinking is the thing.
Right.
So I could be drunk and then still keep drinking until I get that point. And I'd be like, man, I wish I wasn't this drunk. But if I stopped drinking, I hated that feeling.
You ever drink yourself sober? Or what you perceive as sober? Long pause.
I don't know.
I think what it was, I don't think I was sober, but I didn't feel drunk anymore. You know what I'm saying? My own perception was, wait a minute, I'm not drunk. You know, and I actually wasn't stumbling around anymore. I wasn't, you know, the room wasn't spinning anymore. I didn't feel drunk.
I guess that way
and,
like, if it'd be like a bender, like, I didn't usually do the whole, like, drink all night and then first thing I woke up. But when I did that when my buddies came up when I lived in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, back then, because that was the only time I'd drink, like, early in the day. But, like, once we get to, like, the third day of us partying,
mm-hmm.
you just don't feel it anymore. It feels like you're just used to it. I guess.
I've known people that did that with pot that were stoned so much, you couldn't even tell them they were stoned anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't, and they couldn't either. last paragraph of More About Alcoholism on page 43. Last paragraph on page 43. Since, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, in other words, his own intellect cannot stop him from drinking, except in a few rare cases, nearly he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you were going to go with what I feel is probably the experts, and those are those of us who are alcoholics, who this was written by, if you can't get sober, I mean, if you can get sober by just throwing in the towel and saying, I've had enough, and you never drink again, or if you can put it down, the book even suggests, try not drinking for 1 year. Try not drinking for 1 year. I mean, it's only a year out of your life, right? I mean, we got average adult male lives to what today? 70, 75? If, you know, maybe not a true alcoholic.
Boy, that'll be a long year.
Yeah.
Alex, what
but try drinking for not a year. And what it tells us in the book is that lots of people go right back to it after the second day. If that's you, okay, the AA Big Book isn't going to say you're an alcoholic, but I'm going to tell you that I suspect very highly if you cannot put the drink down, if you can't stop,
I understand
if
you don't want to.
Yeah.
I can understand if you can't. I mean, there's a difference between
exactly
can't and, you know, there's some people that say, screw that, I don't want to try that. That doesn't mean they're an alcoholic if they go back, if they change their mind.
Right.
If they change their mind sometime throughout the year, cause, you know what I'm saying? Because I can see a lot of people doing that. Like my mom, not an alcoholic.
Right,
by any means.
Right.
And I can see her going, I don't want to go without for a year. I'm going to have a drink. But then there's the people who can try as hard as they can try and get drunk by the second day, which would be.
Sure.
I'm of the second variety.
How does our friend Bruce say? He says, when I was drinking, I couldn't stop, and when I was sober, I couldn't stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a perfect explanation of an alcoholic.
It is. That was my, I couldn't stop when I started and couldn't stop starting.
Right. And you, Mason, for instance, have never been in trouble with the law to any degree that would be considered felonies or, I mean, you had a little scrape with a minor possession one time.
20 years, I think it was 2 months before my 21st birthday, I got an MIP because I had a cut in my face and the cops saw it, you know, found out I was drinking.
Yeah, and that was it.
I kind of had to do it. He even said he felt bad about doing it. you know. But they had to call an ambulance to see a cut on my face. And
so here's a guy who hasn't had any consequences, but definitely is an alcoholic because he has the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. More when we come back here at take12radio.com and also heard on, let's see here, 1470 AM, WWNN, if you are on AM radio and you don't have a computer. If you are online, holisticlifestylesradio.com when we return.
The Seaside Inn is a private sober hotel offering a serene beach haven where men and women in recovery can relax and enjoy life. We provide an upscale attitude in a humble, quiet setting just 50 yards from the beautiful Atlantic Ocean in Pompano Beach. Come and enjoy health events and wellness activities as you celebrate God's greatest gift, you. For information, call 954-249-5589. 954-249-5589. The Seaside Inn, located at 308 South Ocean Boulevard in Pompano Beach. 954-249-5589. Do you or someone you know have an addiction problem? Healing and a new way of life is only a phone call away. Palm Partners Recovery Centers specialize in chemical dependency, offering a comprehensive program of detox, treatment, and aftercare. Palm Partners combines traditional 12-step recovery with holistic and therapeutic treatment, guiding the patient to long-term recovery. Take control of your life. Reach for the highest quality care at an affordable cost. For a free consultation, call Palm Partners today. Toll free, 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Center, healing mind, body, and spirit. The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the step. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the step. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
Welcome back, and Merry Holidays and Christmas and all that stuff. I've got one little jingle bell here, just one. So It's not quantity, it's quality, right?
One's enough.
We're talking about the topic, am I an alcoholic? How can you tell if you're an alcoholic? According to most treatment centers, this is a very common set of questions. Now, I will tell you, out of 20 of these questionnaires from different institutions, I found only two that asked the question that would actually be related to alcoholism, according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This may not be according to certain professionals or maybe even to you as a listener, but according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a little different here. Surprisingly, and this is the definition of an alcoholic and self-test, surprisingly, AA does not offer an official definition of an alcoholic. This is done intentionally because AA will not pronounce any drinker as alcoholic. However, they will, in the book, provide the drinker with relevant information so the drinker can make their own judgment and self-diagnosis in regards to the question of whether or not they are alcoholic. So what do you think there, Bradley? What, besides those questions that we ask, what do you think might be somebody's clue that they have more than a drinking problem, they actually have the allergy of alcohol? Got any idea? Just shoot anything out there. There's no wrong.
Just the unmanageability, the uncontrol, you know, the drinking over and over again, expecting the same results.
Can that happen to a non-alcoholic, though?
How much is the non-alcoholic going to get? I suppose so, yeah.
But that is certainly an indicator.
Mm-hmm.
If we're drinking over and over again, expecting something else to happen that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more of an indicator than any of these questions.
Yeah, but a non-problem drinker probably isn't, I would think, wouldn't drink as much as we would in order to, you know, to get to where we want to be.
Uh-huh.
So maybe some of their problems might not be as extreme, but that it could still be a devastating situation, whether you.
What about you, Mason?
I think the first step says it pretty well. I mean, honestly, that's about it. Am I powerless? Some people are not powerless over it.
What's that look like, being powerless over alcohol?
No matter how hard and how bad you want to stop, you cannot. You know, because that was my thing. Is I wanted to for a lot of years and felt I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many problems were arising because of it in my life, and those problems were a symptom of it, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Not it itself, not
mm-hmm.
caused by. They were a symptom of, you know, what was going on. But, I mean, my whole thing is, I remember, I remember identifying with everything in, you know, doctor's opinion and a lot of those things. I remember identifying like almost 100% with it, other than the experiences.
Yeah.
I didn't go through necessarily the same experiences, but the effect, the cause, and you know, exactly the cause and effect or whatever was exactly
right.
the same. And it reminds me. I don't know. I remember when I was doing one thing. I remember saying one time that. You know, I couldn't stop when I started, and the problem was I couldn't stop starting, you know. You know, you can't stop when you start, and you can't stop starting, so it was a continuous thing.
Sure.
Whether you wanted to or not, so I think that's powerlessness. It's not necessarily the related effects that are caused by it.
More than likely, all those questions are definitely an indicator there's a problem. May not be alcoholism, but that something's going wrong. I would say that more people that are definitely true alcoholics, definitely, and what I mean by that is they have the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body, which presents itself as the phenomenon of craving, probably could answer yes to many of these questions.
Oh, yeah.
So not all alcohol. I mean, a lot of non-alcoholics could to some of these, and probably most definite alcoholics to
a friend of mine.
Definite yes.
It's coming to mind in all of those questions. He'd answer yes to probably every question,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they say with sufficient reason. You know, I mean, and he kept getting himself to trouble. He got DUIs, jail. He got sick all of the time and all these things.
Yeah.
He got a girlfriend, and he was able to get sober.
And he got sober.
Yeah.
Never drank again, right?
Never drank. Well,
yeah.
he did one time, and he hated himself for it, and he's like, he just kind of did it.
Probably not.
Atheist.
Yeah. Probably not a true alcoholic.
No, I don't think so.
Probably not someone with the allergy.
No.
Especially if you get sober for somebody else.
Yeah.
But in
good point.
And he has over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has over a year now. Mm-hmm. But he had 11 months when he did relapse or whatever, I guess. You know, but he drank one time since then. But I mean, it was sufficient reason for him. He had a reason in his life not to drink. But when he didn't have something like that, you know, when he was just kind of depressed and bummed out, he figured, why not? You know, he drank all the time then and was getting super to the point where he was, like, almost violent drunk and, you know, just a real problem drinker. But, yeah, got a girlfriend and he's sober now.
Okay, let's look at some of the stuff in the chapter more about alcoholism in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, according to the Big Book. In the second paragraph, on page 30, it says, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people or presently may be has to be smashed. Okay, so thinking that we are normal drinkers, if we are alcoholic, has got to definitely be smashed. Otherwise, that comes back and we think we can drink normally. Here's the key, though, the first key to look for when asking yourself if you are or not. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. In other words, can I take a drink, half a drink, or a sip of a drink, and not desire one? Now, you may not take another drink, but can you not desire one? I mean, actually have that tug that says, I want another drink. Lots of people say, well, I didn't take another drink. Yeah, but were you craving that other drink?
To me, it'd be painful almost.
It would be.
Become to a need.
Right.
I needed more. I needed. That's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
If I had it, it was a need. And people didn't I don't know. You know what I mean? It was pretty bad.
Here on page 39, more about alcoholism, halfway through the first paragraph, it says, but the actual or potential alcoholic, now that would suggest to me, according to this book, that you have somebody who is actually born with it, or you have somebody who can develop alcoholism through abuse. It says, but the actual or potential alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may be talking about the person who is active in their alcoholism and then the person who isn't yet, but if he starts drinking, will become active in their alcoholism. There's two schools of thought there. But this is what it says. To this person, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge.
That's it right there.
That's it right there. Can you stop drinking just because you say, I'm going to stop? Or because, you know, my girlfriend wants me to stop, so I'm going to quit. Or the guru down the street said, you know, meditate on your belly button 3 times a day and you'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, you're probably not an alcoholic. I would say probably 99.9% of the time you're not an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
So an alcoholic can't stop on his own thinking.
For the longest time, I thought that maybe my body
was
the problem, was physical addiction to it. And, you know, before I knew much about the mental obsession and everything like that. And so I tried cutting down to a point where, you know, it's enough to where I wouldn't detox. And I would, you know, have that one in the night. And I remember I would not be able to sleep. I'd be angry and bitter and pissed off because I couldn't have more. I didn't have more. And I was trying to do this because my girlfriend I'd been with a lot of years, you know, saying, you know, I have to leave if this doesn't stop, and I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Because you weren't able to achieve the drunk that you wanted.
Hard.
Well, if you didn't have enough alcohol, you weren't able to achieve the drunk that you wanted, and then there's that obsession, compulsion, paranoia, stuff like that.
I don't think that's necessarily just it, though. I mean, the drunk I wanted – I mean, I could be drunk, very drunk, and still want to keep drinking anyways, though. I think it's just I couldn't go to bed. I'd have to drink until I went to bed. That's just how it had to be. I couldn't not have one in my hand. I remember worrying, being like, oh, no, I've only got, like, 6 left or 4 left,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at it, worrying about it.
Yeah, but how many different kind of drunks are you going for?
Well,
there's only one drunk, and that's hammered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I didn't necessarily like being hammered either, though. I didn't always do it just because
you can be drunk and not be sloshed.
Yeah.
I can't.
I mean,
I'm all.
But
I'm,
you know what? Yeah. That's me.
But I'm the same way.
I usually end up getting that way. That's not the way I wanted to be, but I couldn't stop drinking is the thing.
Right.
So I could be drunk and then still keep drinking until I get that point. I'd be like, man, I wish I wasn't this drunk. But if I stopped drinking, I hated that feeling.
You ever drink yourself sober? Or what you perceived as sober? Long pause.
I don't know.
I remember, I think what it was, I don't think I was sober, but I didn't feel drunk anymore. You know what I'm saying? My own perception was, wait a minute, I'm not drunk. You know, and I actually wasn't stumbling around anymore. I wasn't, you know, the room wasn't spinning anymore. I didn't feel drunk.
I got that way on, like, if it'd be like a bender. Like, I didn't usually do the whole, like, drink all night and then first thing I woke up. But when I did, I do that when my buddies came up when I was in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, back then, because that was the only time I'd drink, like, early in the day. But, like, once we get to, like, the third day of us partying,
mm-hmm.
you just don't feel it anymore. It feels like you're just used to it.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. I've known people that did that with pot that were stoned so much, you couldn't even tell them they weren't stoned anymore. Mm-hmm. You couldn't. And they couldn't either. last paragraph of More About Alcoholism on page 43. Last paragraph on page 43. Since once more the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, in other words, his own intellect cannot stop him from drinking, except in a few rare cases, nearly he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you were going to go with what I feel is probably the experts, and those are those of us who are alcoholics, who this was written from, by, if you can't get sober, I mean, if you can get sober by just throwing in the towel and saying, I've had enough, and you never drink again, or if you can put it down, the book even suggests, try not drinking for one year. I mean, it's only a year out of your life, right? I mean, we got the average adult male lives to what today? 70, 75? If, you know, maybe not a parent. True alcoholic.
Boy, that'll be a long year.
Yeah.
I like what it.
But try drinking for not a year. And what it tells us in the book is that lots of people go right back to it after the second day. If that's you. Okay, the AA Big Book isn't going to say you're an alcoholic, but I'm going to tell you that I suspect very highly if you cannot put the drink down, if you can't stop.
I understand
you
don't want to.
Yeah.
I can understand if you can't. I mean, there's a difference between
Can't,
and, you know, there's some people that say, screw that, I don't want to try that. That doesn't mean they're an alcoholic if they go back, if they change their mind.
Right.
If they change their mind sometime throughout the year, you know what I'm saying? Because I can see a lot of people doing that. Like my mom, not an alcoholic. By any means.
Right.
I could see her going, I don't want to go without for a year. I'm going to have a drink. But then there's the people who can try as hard as they can try and get drunk by the second day, which would be.
Sure.
I'm of the second variety, I believe.
How does our friend Bruce say? He says, when I was drinking, I couldn't stop, and when I was sober, I couldn't stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a perfect explanation of an alcoholic.
It is. That's my, the whole, I couldn't stop when I started and couldn't stop starting.
Right. And you, Mason, for instance, have never been in trouble with the law to any degree that would be considered felonies or, I mean, you had a little scrape with a minor in possession one time.
20 years, I think it was 2 months before my 21st birthday, I got an MIP because I had a cut in my face and the cops saw it, found out I was drinking.
Yeah, and that was it.
I kind of had to do it. He even said he felt bad about doing it. You know, but they had to call an ambulance to see a cut on my face. And
So here's a guy who hasn't had any consequences, but definitely is now caught because he has the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. More when we come back here at TakeFlowRadio.com and also heard on, let's see here, 1470 AM, WWNN, if you are on AM radio and you don't have a computer. If you are online, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com when we return.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction problem? Healing and a new way of life is only a phone call away. Palm Partners Recovery Centers specialize in chemical dependency, offering a comprehensive program of detox, treatment, and aftercare. Palm Partners combines traditional 12-step recovery with holistic and therapeutic treatment, guiding the patient to long-term recovery. Take control of your life. Reach for the highest quality care at an affordable cost. For a free consultation, call Palm Partners today. Toll free, 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Center, healing mind, body, and spirit. The Seaside Inn is a private sober hotel offering a serene beach haven where men and women in recovery can relax and enjoy life. We provide an upscale attitude in a humble, quiet setting just 50 yards from the beautiful Atlantic Ocean in Pompano Beach. Come and enjoy health events and wellness activities as you celebrate God's greatest gift, you. For information, call 954-249-5589. 954-249-5589. The Seaside Inn, located at 308 South Ocean Boulevard in Pompano Beach. 954-249-5589.
All right, welcome back, my friends. Our email address is take12radio@comcast.net. We are here broadcasting from the wonderful studios of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting, our brand-new office and audio booth, and also broadcasting to you over Holistic Lifestyles Radio on holisticlifestylesradio.com. Also, I want to let you know about the interviews with Rockers in Recovery, which also can be heard on holisticlifestylesradio.com. John Hollis, who is a colleague of mine and just a great guy with a heart for people in recovery, particularly those who rock out that are in recovery. We have, he and I every year have just a great time together at the 12-Step Music Fest. And if you go to 12stepmusicfest.com, you can get your early bird tickets right now and save a ton of money to go to that thing in the outrageous Florida Keys, right there south of Key West at Sugar Loaf Key KOA Campground in Florida. And we're there every year along with John. But John and I have really strike up a great friendship, and he's a great guy. I got to tell you, his shows are just phenomenal. He interviews really some of the top rockers and some of the high-profile people in the rock and roll scene as well as in the recovery rock scene. So you want to check him out. Just go to holisticlifestylesradio.com and check out Rockers in Recovery. There's a bunch of new stuff going on. There's a live thing going on that you just don't want to miss it. Yeah, you go to our front page on our main page at takeswellradio.com. Over there on the left-hand side, you'll see a Rockers in Recovery link, a big black banner. Click on that thing, and there is an awesome concert coming up, and it is free. And I'm not going to give away who's playing in that thing, but they were a former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Oh, wow.
And you'll be able to check. But I want you to go see, because I don't want you just to hear me. I want you to go see and look at the site itself and check it out, holisticlifestylesradio.com. Okay. By the way, that's on the Health and Wellness Network. We are really proud and just tickled to death to be a member of the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network now, and it's just awesome to be able to branch out to the Southern Florida area and to share with all you fine folks. All right, so a person's asking, so I don't know, you know, I'm getting in trouble with alcohol, I'm getting in trouble with drugs, so, you know, my parents are on my case, my schoolwork's going down the tubes, I don't know what to do, I don't know if I can stop, I don't know. Let me ask you, Brad, if somebody came up to you and said, what would your suggestion be? I think I may be in trouble. What would you tell them?
Well, that's a hard one, you know, because I wouldn't want to do more harm than good.
Okay.
In a situation like that.
What is something you could tell them that definitely wouldn't harm?
Maybe, like Mason had said earlier, the powerlessness in it. Do you have any, you know, if you have no control over it, then most likely, you know, you're going to have a problem with it. Like I said, that's another thing, because I can't judge anybody. I have no idea how much they drink, what they do.
But they came and told you, though, you know, and they said, man, I'm not just drinking on Friday night. I found myself drinking every day. I don't seem to be able to stop. Everybody's on my case. I'm on my second DUI.
A lot have to take into effect a lot of the other factors in their life, but yes, I'd probably say that they do have a drinking problem.
What would you recommend they do about that, Mason?
Huh?
What would you recommend they do about that?
I was debating. I was thinking about if I was asked the same question as him. What would I do if they came up to me and said that?
Yeah, and they wanted to know what to do.
You know, I would actually not. I would point them in the direction of, like, you, Bruce, or Clayton, or Courtney, or one of those type of people,
yeah,
and say, because I don't think I'm in any position to really spread the message. I don't know it that well, you know, not to say I can't help
mm-hmm.
a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'd say that, you know, if you want to really figure out what's up with what I do and my thing, because I can't diagnose them anyways. I'm
right.
Tell them that.
Right.
You know, but I'd say this, you know, I, you know, more pointed towards the direction of my support people. And
which is? I'm fishing for an answer here.
Which is AA. But no, actually, but the specific people in AA, though.
Right.
Because I don't think that
going to an AA meeting.
I don't think throwing somebody into a room of AA, I can think of, oh, wow, tons of people I don't think would be any good for them.
You could be throwing them into a bunch of
people. But you know what? I'd also say, you know, call me if you need anything, or if you're trying not to and you need to talk to somebody before you do, you know, call me before you drink or something, or call me before you, you know, go and do some dope or something, you know. I'd say, you know, give me a call first, you know, be helpful towards them. But, you know, if they really, I wouldn't be able to tell them. And honestly, even you couldn't even necessarily, could you? Somebody who has more experience.
I could not professionally diagnose.
That's what I'm saying. You couldn't either. But you could get them more of the. You could show them more of the knowledge that I could show them of the book and of things that you've learned.
My suggestion would be, and you're both not wrong at all. My suggestion would be that they find somebody in their area. They go to an AA meeting. Go to an AA meeting. Go to wherever they can get 12-step support. That's my flavor.
Yeah.
And ask for it. If they're listening to the show, ask for a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous or a basic text of Narcotics Anonymous. I would suggest that even if you go to NA, that you find a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I really would.
Yeah, because I like a little bit better than the basic text.
Yeah. Well, the basic text,
I read all
a lot
of
that was derived from the big book, but it doesn't deal – it deals more with if you just stop using, things will work out okay, whereas AA has a tendency, if you stop using and then you change your thinking and your life, things will work out okay. I mean, there's a little bit of a difference there.
AA is a little bit more,
you know,
God-heavy, whatever your God may be.
And it depends on what part of the country you're in, too.
Yeah.
You know, but I would suggest that they get a hold
of yourself, Mark, I meant.
Get hold of the text. Get a hold of the basic text. If you're going to join NA, you should get their book. If you're going to join AA, you should get their book. But I would recommend, at the very least, picking up the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, going to a meeting and asking, there's nothing wrong with asking, is there somebody in this meeting, if they ask to introduce yourself if you're new or whatever, or just go around, is there somebody in this meeting that has read this book, done these 12 steps, and has had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps? The person that is qualified to help you will know what that means. They will automatically know what that means.
I know I wouldn't have ever said that when I first came in, though.
No, but you may not have known to say that. That's one reason why we have this service.
But I didn't want to work steps. I didn't want a spiritual thing.
Okay, then you probably, you know, at that point.
I didn't know it's what I needed, and I discovered that very quickly.
So what we're doing is telling folks now, if you're sitting there saying, well, I may not want to do that, well, then guess what? You don't want to be free.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to be free, do you
want to
be?
But I did want to, you know, I slowly, it takes time to get over past contempt, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
I was willing to do those things, but I didn't want to. So I, that's more why I wouldn't have read it, because I didn't want to. I was willing to, but I didn't really want to seek something like that.
But you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think more people kind of take a clinical route. In a situation like that, because they're more exposed to the treatment facility as opposed to the AA part of it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, folks, hey, listen, we are out of time. And, again, our thanks to Holistic Lifestyles Radio and just proud members of the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Join us on our webpage, our main webpage at take12radio.com. On the internet, on your internet dial, every week for Open Forum Wednesday. And all of our shows here at Take 12 Radio, a different recovery-focused show every day of the week. Thank you, Mason.
Yeah, thanks for me.
Thank you, Brad. Folks, until our next broadcast, this is the guys in the Monty Man, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity. Woo! Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to
you. Bye-bye.
And be dead.
ground, time to lay a burden down.
We're here.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. This program is sponsored by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day right here on AM 1470 WNN. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. All broadcast rights to this program are the property of Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Rebroadcast of any portion of this program without express written consent is prohibited. The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of its hosts and callers and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors. WWNN, Pompano Beach. AM 1470 with even more of what you're looking for. She's one of the 100 most respected women in the travel industry. Join Stephanie Abrams for Travel with Stephanie every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. right here on AM 1470 WNN. AM 1470 WNN is now the Health and Wealth Network, featuring more of the information you're looking for. Join us for the best health program every day. Then, in late afternoons and evenings, tune in for more information for your financial success. Only on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's all-new Health and Wealth Network.
MCFI, medical calcium from Ireland, is a granulated natural calcium source produced from mineralized seaweed. This seaweed is harvested from the seabed off the west coast of Ireland from the clear, pollution-free, mineral-rich waters of the Atlantic Ocean. The major components of MCFI are calcium, magnesium, boron, and selenium. The harvested seaweed is extensively washed, dried, and finely ground in order to produce the MCFI. MCFI has all of the physical and chemical properties which make it one of the purest and most...